This is the July 22 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Aaron Curtis. He's of Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's begin our discussion in the same way as usual. We'll start with Aaron Curtis of Midco this afternoon. What are the items that we should discuss for the day?
Well, probably most interest here in our office is, you know, it's been an awful quiet week. The producer has kind of went away and hit a little bit with these lower prices, and still got some corn, at least old crop, they still need to price. You know, likely this time of year, if they don't like the price, they typically don't do much until the elevator makes them make a decision here in another month or so. So, you know, the question is, should they be go ahead and pricing something here, or is there a better opportunity lying ahead in the next few weeks?
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Well, touch a little bit on outlook. What we've gone through and what's forward here, what we're going to be facing going into this fall. And then secondly, what do we do? There's a lot of strategies out there to look at. But I think those are two things you might want to look at.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, I think the big thing we want to look at today is when and if this market's going to bottom before harvest. And I think that's very important to a lot of guys that haven't marketed near enough stuff. And the other question is, do we consider storing this corn crop as big as it's going to be?
Let's start there, Wayne. And Kurt, can I have you just move just a little bit farther away from him, please? Wayne, what is it that you think might trigger the bottom, and how far down might it be from where we are? And is there a big difference between how much lower for corn and soybeans? There's a series of questions to answer there.
Well, I think that as we look a lot at the corn market, we've talked about this 320 level for a long time, that it could go down and touch there. And that's one of the old lows out there in the continuation chart. And that's been the 318 to 320 and a half has been sort of a goal to the downside for most of the end users to become buyers down in that level. And I think that it will hold a little while here. I'm wondering, you know, we're hearing that the ethanol plants are having trouble buying corn. I don't think that farmers are selling much of anything. I think Aaron told us that. It's been a very quiet week and nobody's selling cash. We know in the South market, down the Memphis market, that they have popped up their bases trying to buy. They were out calling this morning, even with the down market early this morning, they were still bidding over $10 for fall beans. So I think that that's one of the things they're trying to get some cash movement going on. As far as the beans going on down, I think that probably until we see another week or two of weather, a 950 will probably hold them. You know, we did bounce back on this afternoon. In the corn and the beans off the lows, and in fact, closing a little bit higher in the corn. So, you know, it's going to be sort of a tricky game, but, you know, we've got a couple weathermen out there that are still very, very bullish this market, saying that we're going to have a really bad August as far as heat goes, and it looks like, you know, we'll wait and see what the yields are, I guess.
Aaron Curtis, it's been a quiet week, you said, for sales, especially for corn. Will there be opportunities before harvest for producers to move old crop?
I think we're going to continue to be pretty quiet here moving forward, I guess, more range bound. I think maybe a small victory that we closed at least the end of the week here with a little bit of a higher note after being lower most of the day. But I tend to agree with Wayne. I think that 320, 325 area is going to continue to be some support. I think we'll see some end user pricing. I mean, keep in mind we got demand projections at a little over 14 billion bushels, so obviously a lot of demand that we got to continue to work through here as we move into the 16-17 marketing year. And you know, 320 corn puts cash prices below $3, and I don't care what anybody says, I don't think the farmer's selling there. So I think that's going to probably eventually offer a little support to the market, the fact that not much grain's going to be moving down here at these cheaper prices. So, you know, the other part is the funds have liquidated all their long position, you know, net short now. And, you know, I guess with this demand structure that we have moving forward, I just don't see the funds building a big net short position here moving into the new crop year.
What is your outlook, Kurt Kimmel, at this time as you go out, I don't know, 2 weeks or a month or to the beginning of harvest or all three?
Well, when you go back to, you know, what we're looking at last winter, we talked about volatility picking up and, you know, if we would have a weather rally be during the growing season, we'd see a supply concern driven market along with missile funds coming in. Now the crops a little further along, we're taking, you know, a little bit of uncertainty out. So it's a type of market now where the function is to probably drift lower here. We're seeing some of these analysts price in or start to project 171 bushels to the acre, if not a little higher. Bean yield is going to creep a little higher up towards 48 bushels to the acre. So the tendency, barring no additional weather concern, would be to move lower as producers make room for the new crop grain coming in. And some of these basis contracts come due, especially for those who've rolled out to September. That's going to be here fairly quickly. So we're kind of the mindset that we're kind of searching maybe for some type of pre-harvest low end through here. But as Wayne and Aaron both stated, there's some demand into the market. And it's going to come forward here to get some coverage. It's just a question when and at what price level.
How important do you suppose it is to the corn market, Kurt, that we managed in the week, and what difference might that make as we move forward through the next, week or so? And does it really give a lot of support to the marketplace?
Technically, that's encouraging. We went down to those objectives, especially front end September into the 320s. Held. We came back and closed higher on the day, so that's kind of encouraging. The statistics, the momentum indicators are down at some lower levels. Cycle counts are right here on the shorter counts to see some recovery. And couple that with the commodity fund position. The fund's been buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat for quite some time, and we saw massive liquidation in the soybeans today, and they bought back short corn and wheat positions. And so they continue to do that. We're in a position here to maybe see some recovery. Now, it's not going to go back up to this $3.80, $3.90, $4 level that we want, but we should show some stability. Also, too, wheat recorded a weekly price reversal to the upside in the front lead contract in September here. Wheat's approached the $4 levels, kind of holding in through here. Seasonally, wheat starts to gain on these other commodities. So for those who say wheat's a leader, maybe it's one to watch here as we move forward.
When we get into the month of August, Wayne Nelson, we'll be looking forward to USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, but more importantly, the very first crop production report to assess the size, really assess the size of the U.S. corn crop, soybeans as well, but not such importance, at least in that first month. Do we expect that they'll begin to think about raising their average yields across the nation?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that Dr. Elvin Taylor has talked a lot about. He's talked about 172 yield, looking at crop ratings, what we're doing, the amount of rain we've got, and everything that way. And on the other hand, we've got the Weather 360 people still calling for a 151 yield in the corn, saying that there's been so many hot nights and days with above 90-degree temperature, and looking at past things that it should actually be down there. And when they tear back the husk on the ear, they're not going to see kernels filled to the end or not very good ears. Now, I'm not quite that bullish as that's going on, and I think that we're going to probably, unless we find something very unusual to what we're looking at, you know, find a good yield. I think in some areas we're going to find a great yield.
What do you see for yields at this point in your area, Aaron? How good does the crop look in the Bloomington Normal area?
Pretty good here, especially as you continue to work farther north. I mean, from here north up and even into Wisconsin, I mean, it's hard to paint a picture that looks much better, if they, you know, for most of parts of those areas. Now, you know, southern Illinois was fairly dry, but even they've been able to catch a few rains here the last weeks, and our elevators down there continue to tell us things are vastly improved. So they've improved their outlook here a little bit, thinking that they could have some pretty decent crops here moving forward. Office out in Iowa says the same thing, pretty good prospects. And, of course, the crop ratings continue to reflect that, with both Illinois and Iowa at 80% or better on good to excellent ratings, which historically is up near all-time highs. So it's hard to paint a much picture. I think we still got some question marks in the southeast corner of Iowa and in parts of Ohio here as we move forward. So, you know, that if we do see a little bit of a heat up, that could cause some of those areas to dry out pretty quickly. But it seems like the lion's share of the Corn Belt is going to be in pretty good shape, and that probably, you know, argues for something closer to 170 as far as the national yield come the middle of August, Todd.
Kurt, do you suppose that even if we're down at the bottom end of the corn market at this point, given the size of production we think we have, that the action within the U.S. dollar and crude oil, the dollar much higher, and crude oil beginning to move lower again, that this will depress the marketplace? And how much more, if that is the case, would it be?
Well, I think it's going to keep a cap or a lid on it more than anything. You know, when you look at the end user, they're going to have to step up and get some coverage, but they're in no hurry. Just driving through the road, down the road, they see the crop. And the main comment, especially elevator guys in some areas, is where we're going to store this. So, you know, that's going to be the situation we're going to look at here going into this fall. But it feels like, you know, with the outside markets kind of in check into here, we can kind of drift and wander. But once we get into harvest, I think producers going to store this stuff. He's going to stack it in his front yard. And I think the end user is going to have to start being aggressive. And when we start to tally up the numbers in the southern hemisphere, we feel that South American corn crop is still dramatically smaller than what we've been seeing here recently. So that's a story still in development here, where there's some value here towards the $3 level. And when you look at the long-term price check, price charts, 10 years ago is what we're looking at, is where we were at these price levels. So when you're at 10, 12-year lows and below the cost of production, I think it warrants some type of strategy, and you're to have some staying power to get into this winter.
Wayne, for those who have old crop corn in storage in the bin on the farm, do they just steel themselves to leave that there and find a new home, even if it's in commercial storage, for that which they would be harvesting this fall?
I think they look around for some good basis levels, Todd. I think that we're going to see some of the guys willing to pay up. Some of the ethanol plants, there's good money in ethanol right now. They might give them a premium for that and turn around and buy a deferred call to replace that with and just price that on out. You've got a good basis for it. And instead of store it in your bin, be in the way for this big crop and maybe get some bugs in or some damage in it for later, I think that's what you try to do with it. Take advantage of maybe a good basis when all the rest of the farmers are doing nothing.
Aaron, is this what you're expecting producers to do? I know they've already closed the bin doors, but do you think they really ought to open it up at some point?
Well, historically, that's what will happen. Typically, we see some of this stuff eventually start to move here ahead of new harvest, replacing it with newly harvested grain here, typically not seeing traditionally, at least, you know, carrying old crop corn into a new harvest year. So I would assume at this point, or expect, a lion's share of that corn that's still remaining in the bin gets moved here at some point. It might be towards the last minute. We might have a little pre-harvest here before we have actual harvest, at least at the elevator level, but we still expect some of that to probably move here at some point.
Okay, one other set of questions for you. Prior to the time that we began the buildup of the ethanol industry in the United States, we would generally get to June, July, just before August. We'd really bottom the marketplace. We'd have a bottom prior to harvest, and then we'd begin to build price back up. Even through the harvest season, we've had complete build out now of the ethanol market. There is no more build out that needs to come. The volumes are as big as they're going to be at this point as well. Do we think that we might put a bottom in to the corn market, at least, Kurt, prior to the time we get to harvest?
I would think it'd be in the cash market, particularly. I think basis, you know, might be kind of sloppy here, as mentioned before, as producers clean up some of this old crop. But even the big feedlots, ethanol guys, they don't have the capacity to store all their needs. So they recognize that oftentimes you see lower prices going into harvest, or harvest is a key time window to gather some inventory. So we're kind of that mindset that we could see that trend develop again this year. But once again, I don't think it's going to be a big bull market where we're going to run up to $3.90, $4 that everybody wants to see again.
Okay, and then turn your attention, Kurt, to the soybeans. Technically, where do they stand after such a volatile week?
Well, the trend's down. Key support going into Friday's trade was this 980 area, 985. There's some retracement levels that come in at that point. We're in a situation where time counts are just about right for some type of shorter-term low to come in, but with the magnitude of the selling pressure, we could be in a situation where we could continue to drift lower into here. The next real major support level, if you're going to keep this thing negative, would be back down to 898. That's where we broke out to the upside, where this bull run started from the very first place when Ellen said to get on if that market would ever close above 898. And I don't think she imagined beans would rally $3, but that was the kind a key point that we were kept bumping up against last winter.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Curtis, what do you get asked most often if producers call you?
I would say for the most part, you know, especially this week, was probably, you know, where's the bottom at this point? And obviously the beans have left a lot to be desired here with the liquidation they've seen down some pretty good values here today. Commitment of Traders report will be out this afternoon. Should tell us the funds liquidated some of their position or long position again, still up to this week, still holding a fairly long position in relatively to corn and wheat. They continue to want to be long with, you know, some weather premiums still in there, with some talk of, you know, still watching, I guess, the finishing weather here as we move forward with beans still. A lot of weather to go here, being August. And, of course, you know, you look at the demand profile for next year, what the USDA has got factored, record crush and record demand as far as exports here next year. The funds just continue to want to hang around on the long side. But, obviously, that's changed quite a bit this week. But, you know, November beans, you know, support kind of around that 950 area. We got a 200-day moving average moving just above that, around that 953, 954. That's going to be in somebody's eye, you know, most people's eyes here starting next week. But still got a lot of weather to go. I would doubt the funds continue to liquidate all the way down to zero here. I still think there's enough demand out there moving forward, expecting to China to come back in here, be a little more aggressive here on buying some needs here as their crush margins start to improve a little bit, especially on this dip. So I guess I'm not a complete big bear here at this point after the liquidation that we've seen. But back to your original question, Todd, yeah, I think the question is, you know, where do these grains bottom out? And, you know, obviously, once again, the producer looks at this rally, much like what we saw in the summer of 2015 when it was pretty short-lived, especially on the corn, and wonders if they missed it again. And that's probably a lot of the concern here moving forward.
Well, they did have opportunities after the summer of 15, though they had to wait quite some time, Aaron. Will they have the capacity to do so in the second year?
Well, it continued to surprise us with how much monetary need or funds the producer continues to have here. We go year after year, at least the last couple, thinking that, you know, producer is going to have to be a much more aggressive seller here to meet some money needs. And, you know, it continued to be pretty stubborn as far as selling anything. I think if you look at the price relationships right now, if I was to guess, I think a producer, you know, sells beans and this fall and tries to finance holding corn moving forward, especially if you look at the forward sales we've already have, you know, if, you know, kind of 20-25% bean crop sold, probably new crop on average when that compares to, you know, maybe 10 to 15% of corn, if not less than that in some areas. So that tells you that, you know, the farmer was a little more aggressive selling beans on this rally and not as much corn. And I think that probably is going to be the trend here moving forward. I don't think the producer is going to like this price with a 2 in front of it here moving forward this fall, if that's what happens. And he's going to be fairly stubborn on trying to wait for some better prices. At least that would be my guess today, Todd.
If there's a 2 in front of it, Wayne Nelson, I suspect most farmers will be really stubborn about marketing corn. How about you?
Oh, I don't think that's even a question, Todd. I think that's an answer. You know, I'm going to disagree in my area, at least. I think the farmers are a lot heavier sold than what they are in his area in the beans. I think that the the ABCD pricing programs, meaning the big grain company pricing programs, sold a very high percentage of beans back below $9. So they sold probably closer to 50% of their beans in our area. And I bought them, don't want to sell anymore. Not near, they really got stubborn about selling more corn because they got caught on the beans. So we've got more corn that's probably unpriced in our area. I think that they will definitely store anything down if they can't gross more than 3.25 for it. Because it's losing money. Why sell it there? I think Jerry Gulke has said all along, he says, why do you want to just lock in a loss? You might as well try, you know, shoot for it before you're going to go broke anyhow. So, you know, I think that that's I think that it's going to be a very big deal for most of the farmers to hang on if the price is below 325 cash.
And does this have any impact, do you think, Kurt Kimmel, with so much corn potentially being unpriced today on the marketplace? Generally, we would say that farmers' hands are weak hands, and that might mean even weaker prices for corn.
Well, we'll see what the attitude is as we move into this fall. But like Wayne said, you know, they started to scale up selling, particularly in beans. And, you know, this one guy sold a load of beans at $9 and didn't sell any more, no corn. So they're kind of cotton through here. And I think the strategy to be is, how do I get from point A to point B? Point A is where we are today, cash corn, 310, 305, 315 in a lot of areas. That's point A. But point B is what I need for my cash corn. And that could be, you know, $3.90, $4. So there is a wide, wide margin there that we have to make up. And this is where the art of grain marketing and catch-up strategies come in place. Just hanging on and hoping, I don't know, it's going to get you fully to where you want to be. But there's tons of ideas out there, some strategies, some manufacturing strategies to help get you to where you need to be. And that probably needs to be the focus to look at, instead of worrying where the low is or what the news is. You've got to have some type of marketing plan in here to get you back to solid ground.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities, joined our other panelists, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities and Aaron Curtis of Midco, on this July 22nd edition of Commodity Week.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.